This is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega.
In 1997, a Mississippi man named Curtis Flowers was headed for death row.
Curtis Flowers was convicted of killing four people at a furniture store in this small town in Mississippi.
Samara Freemark is a senior producer for the podcast In the Dark from APM Reports, and her team has a new investigation about the Flowers case.
He was sent to death row, but that conviction was actually just the start of things for Curtis Flowers, because since 1997, Flowers has been tried a total of six times for those murders. He successfully appealed his conviction three of those times. Two of the trials have ended in hung juries where the juries couldn't decide on a verdict. But the prosecutor in the case, who's been the same prosecutor the whole way through, he's a white man named Doug Evans. Evans just kept trying this case again.
And again, and again. And now Flowers' latest conviction from 2010 is on appeal at the U.S. Supreme Court. Oral arguments begin today. I sat down with Samara Freemark to talk about the investigation she and her team did into this case and what they found. But first, I had to ask the big question. How can someone be tried for the same crime six times?
So this is generally a question we get a lot when we tell people about this case. A lot of people hear that someone has been tried six times and they think, but wait a second, double jeopardy, that's not allowed. But the fact of the matter is that double jeopardy only applies if you've been acquitted of a crime. So if you're brought to trial and you're acquitted, the prosecutor can't charge you again. But Curtis Flowers has never been acquitted. He's only won his appeals or had juries hang. And so in that situation, the prosecutor constitutionally has every right in the world to just keep retrying him. And there's no limit, as far as we can tell, that says at a certain point you just have to stop. As far as what Doug Evans' motivations are, I think, from his perspective, he thinks Curtis Flowers is guilty and he thinks he has a strong case. And so I think he feels that it's his job as prosecutor to just keep trying this case until a conviction sticks.
So what is the Supreme Court set to decide here specifically?
So the question that the justices are going to be considering has to do specifically with what happened in jury selection in that sixth trial in 2010. So in jury selection, both sides, both the defense and the prosecution, get a certain number of what are called peremptory strikes. And they can use those strikes to remove prospective jurors from the jury for almost any reason. But one reason that you cannot use is race. So you cannot strike a black juror because they are black. That's unconstitutional. And Doug Evans, who is the prosecutor in this case, has actually been caught doing exactly that, removing a black juror because they were black, in two of Curtis Flowers' previous trials. And one of Curtis Flowers' convictions was actually overturned because of it. So in the latest trial, number six, Doug Evans used five of his six peremptory strikes against black prospective jurors. And the jury ended up being made up of 11 white people and one black person. Now, Evans and the state say that Doug Evans struck those people for constitutional reasons. You know, things like they worked with Curtis's relatives or they were late to court a couple of times. But Curtis's defense is saying, no, Doug Evans was doing the same thing in the sixth trial that he was caught for previously, that he was striking those black prospective jurors because they were black.
If Doug Evans had done this in the past and was caught doing it, why is he allowed to continue with this case?
Because there's no rule that prevents it. You know, this is the remedy here is in the courts. So Curtis Flowers can say something has gone wrong in my case. And his remedy is to appeal to a higher court, to a state Supreme Court, to the U.S. Supreme Court. And if they find he was right, that Doug Evans did make mistakes in the case, Curtis Flowers' remedy for that is he gets a new trial. And there's nothing in there that says there has to be a new prosecutor. So Doug Evans is the elected DA in that district, so he gets to keep trying it.
Okay, so you looked at the case and decided to investigate. Tell us what you and your team were trying to find.
So our involvement in this story started with a tip. We got a very short email from a woman who lived in Mississippi who said, you know, there's a man here who's been tried six times for the same crime, and the evidence against him seems iffy at best. And to us, the most interesting part of that tip was the six trials part, because we had that same reaction that you did, which was six trials. This doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem possible. And so we went into it with this question essentially of what is going on here. Like, how did this person, Curtis Flowers, come to be tried six times by the same prosecutor? And answering that question ended up entailing a huge amount of reporting into every aspect of the case. So we really looked at everything every bit of evidence that the DA presented in those six trials to juries. Our team spent a year, more than a year, reporting on this case. And by the time we were done, we had really found that a lot of this evidence didn't hold up to scrutiny.
But then you found something else out about Evans and his office. Tell us about that.
So we knew that Doug Evans had this history in the Curtis Flowers trials of striking black jurors at higher rates than he struck white jurors. That's in the record. We were very familiar with that. But that led us to this larger question, which is, what is Doug Evans doing in all of the other cases that his office has tried? Because he's been, Doug Evans has been the prosecutor in this district since 1991. So he's tried hundreds of cases, or his office has tried hundreds of cases. So we had this very specific question, like what is going on in jury selection in all of these other cases? It turned out that answering that question was a huge challenge. It took months and months of work. We had a reporter who had to go courthouse to courthouse in all of the eight courthouses of Doug Evans' district and track down all of these paper transcripts of jury selection in all of these trials. And these things were stored in all kinds of weird places, like there was some in this old abandoned men's bathroom or in a former jail, a storage container. So she had to track down all these transcripts and scan them all. And at the end of it, I believe she scanned, 115,000 pages of documents. And so then we took all of this information, all of these scans, and we gave them to our data reporter. And our data reporter spent about 3 months coding all that data, entering it into a huge spreadsheet, developing a methodology with some statisticians, and running the numbers on this. And at the end of that, months and months later, we had an answer, which is that Doug Evans was striking black potential jurors in his district at 4.5 times the rate that he struck white potential jurors.
What could Evans face? Could he pay for this in any way?
I mean, again, there's no penalty for the prosecutor in this. So even if the Supreme Court hears this case and decides that Doug Evans has struck black jurors because they're black in violation of the U.S. Constitution, if they rule in Curtis's favor and they say Evans is at fault here, what happens after that is that the case is back where it's been so many times before. It's back in the hands of the district attorney, Doug Evans, and he'll get to decide what to do with it. And he'll get to decide whether he wants to try it for a seventh time.
What do you want people to understand about this case specifically and about this reporting? Because this does seem like a pretty unique case for the Supreme Court to take up.
Yeah, it's not the kind of case that the Supreme Court usually looks at. We've talked to a lot of experts about it. And, you know, this is not a Bush v. Gore. This is not a Roe v. Wade. This is not a case with huge national implications. It seems to be a pretty, what they call a fact-bound case, a case that really is about what happened in this one particular courtroom in this one particular trial, which, again, is not the kind of case the Supreme Court usually looks at. But I think that it gets to all of these larger issues in the criminal justice system. Like, we hope that our reporting and that the Supreme Court's taking of this case encourage people to take a look at what their prosecutors are doing in jury selection.
Samara Freemark is senior producer for the podcast In the Dark from APM Reports, and you can find her team's investigation into the Curtis Flowers case and DA Doug Evans at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.